This episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Go build a beautiful website and get a free trial to boot. When you've decided to stay, and I know you will, use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10% on your account. That's squarespace.com and the code MORNING. For reals this time! Coming up on TMS, Sushi Lady.
Dog pants.
You owe 90210 in back payments.
Oh no, is that Leo?
Too early to get a monkey head transplant?
Here's the key to my chastity belt.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Perhaps we should all go back to my place for some pie.
Rated T for too much sass.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Thursday, the 21st of January, 2015. 2016.
Oh.
I've done it. I screwed it up. I've done
it like
real well.
You're like that lady in front of me writing a check at the grocery store.
Oh, she's the worst.
Oh, wait, I filled this out wrong. Let me write big void on here and
normally,
start over.
My grandson does this for me. I don't know what I'm doing.
I love little old ladies that don't know how to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like my mom.
Sure.
I go, Mom, did you take your iPad to the Apple store? She says, no. Or she says, yes, I sure did. And I said, oh, well, how did that go there? She goes, it was so out of the way. I said, well, wait, the Apple store is just like right there on whatever. And she goes, no, not that one. I'm like, no, Mom, that's the only one near you, unless you went all the way uptown to the other one. No, I went to the Apple store. That's the one. I said, well, where was it? Well, it was over there by the fish market thing and the dibbidin. I'm like, Mom, there's no Apple store near that freaking place.
Oh, no.
I go, where did you take this thing? And it turns out it was fine. It was a Simply Mac store where they do a lot of repairs and stuff.
Okay.
But she didn't know.
Are they an Apple authorized?
I think so. I think they're one of the few.
Yeah.
I think they're only a handful, and I think Simply Mac is one of them. They're actually owned by GameStop of all places, which is weird. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you that story. My mom doesn't know how to use iPads. There you go. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Brian, I've got two things to tell you about today. One of them is extra special that you brought to the table today via some tadpoolers.
Via the tadpool, yes.
Yeah, we want to give them some credit, but we'll get to that in a second. I just have to complain about the service.
Okay.
A little bit here. Yesterday at lunch, my wife and I and my daughter, who had the day off from school, she didn't have any classes. She doesn't have classes on Wednesday, so we thought, here's what we'll do. I'm going to do some quick prep with Tom right after TMS yesterday, and then off we go to get sushi. We decided to go get sushi for lunch, okay? Mm-hmm. You're familiar with sushi, right?
I'm familiar with sushi.
Yeah, you get the rice and the fish and
yes.
The whatnot, right?
Right.
The midget, the broom, and the whatnot.
Seaweed, the wrap, the wasabi, the soy.
All the things you like.
The ginger.
Yeah, we got soy paper instead of...
soy paper.
You ever seen soy paper? Look at it. Anyway, we got soy paper because Kim's allergic. She can't have the other. She'll break out in these horrible sores. So we didn't do that. So we got that. And for the last two times that we've been there, I thought the first time was just a fluke. This time I'm starting to worry. While we're eating, the entire time, while we're waiting, eating, or doing anything, there's a little Asian lady who knows no English, like really none to speak of, stands about, I don't know, 4 feet away from our table, ready to pounce at any second.
Okay.
So the very second one of your drinks looks like it might be getting a little low.
She's ready. She's on top of it.
Yep. She springs to life and comes and takes care of it. If you have a plate you have a napkin that's sort of pushed to the side a little bit, suddenly this little Asian lady hand will just go and swipe it out of there. And she's just hovering around the table, looking at us the whole time. Like, and the place is not packed. It's just lunch. People are there, kind of
the
random tables.
There's no other customers to distract her.
I guess. Maybe that's a good point. Maybe she is so there's so many demands on her to be, like, you know, hyperactive, attentive to people, that when she's not being, she feels like she's going to get fired or something.
Right. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And she kept going, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, she'd say. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's what that is. okay. And she grabbed my half-drunk Dr. Pepper, leave, and come back with a whole big new one. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I didn't really want that, but it's fine. You know, listen, I grew up with a brother who didn't know English for the first 3 years of his life when he was adopted. So I don't, it's not a problem. I'm not one of those lousy white people that go, learn the language or move out. Go back to your homeland. I don't do that, right?
There's the southern accent.
Right? Yeah, okay, it comes out again. So is that a bingo
listen
card?
Listen, Asian lady.
Yeah, totally. Your Mr. Howell is even more appropriate.
We'll do the Mr. Howell, yeah.
Yeah. So,
pardon me, could I have another refill on my Dr. Pepper, please?
Oh my gosh, that's so weird and good. When I was young, I wanted to do that so bad. I wanted that voice in my repertoire. But I could never do it. I couldn't pull it off.
Mr. Magoo and Howell.
Yeah, what was his name?
Jim Backus.
Jim Backus, yeah. He's dead, right?
I'm sure, yeah. I think he was the first of the... might have been the first of the castaways today, even before Natalie Schaefer.
Jim Backus. Let's just look him up real fast. Yeah, Jim Backus died in 1989. Born in 43. Oh, he didn't live that long. He wasn't that old.
1913 is what I see.
Oh, sorry. His spouse. Oh, was he gay?
Oh, was he?
His spouse's name was Henry.
Henny.
Henny. Look at me throwing shade on Hollywood.
Henny,
please bring me my... Yeah, and he... See, that they were married from 43 to 89, and then Betty Keene...
Henny.
Oh, there it is. He did die in 89, though. So he was born in 1913, yeah. Died in 89 in Los Angeles, California, and was the voice of Mr. Magoo and also the professor, or the Mr. Howell. And then nothing else. What else did he do? Nothing? That's probably it.
God, it seems like he was... It seems like he was super prevalent, but that's true. I mean, he was...
Well, here's a bunch.
I guess he was in Rebel Without a Cause. Oh, he was in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. I love that movie.
Oh, all right. He was in Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah.
He was in The Opposite Sex.
James, would you please drive your car a little slower by the observatory?
Oh, your Jim Backus is impeccable. Anyway.
It's even better when I'm not a little tiny bit congested, too.
Well, speaking of voices, all right?
Yes.
You
yes.
sent me a link today that I thought, I'm just delighted by it.
Right.
So there's this video, this conspiracy video on YouTube with way too many views for comfort.
Right.
That claims that every time at a rally in a speech where Obama says the words, yes, we can, seven times, I remember the speech.
Sure.
And so it was things like.
It was like an inaugural. Like it was early on.
Yeah,
it was like.
Very early. It was like, can we take this country to a new level?
Right.
And have peace?
Maybe not inaugural. It was like after the election, but pre-inauguration in Chicago, the big festival that filled.
Yeah, I think that's right. And he says things like, are we going to have poverty of a dip? Can we destroy or can we have peace in the world? Yes, we can, he'd say.
Yeah, exactly.
So he said, yes, we can, like seven times.
Sure.
Someone recorded it, decided that was he was actually doing backmasked evil Satan lyrics.
Yes, of course. Of course somebody did. I'd love to know how much time somebody spent on the initial YouTube video and all their research and all their creation of this.
Yeah. He's playing things backwards to see what they can
eat out
of it.
I'm going to listen to that entire speech backwards.
Well, let's let the home listeners decide, right? So here he is saying... The things that they say he said. All right, so here it is.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
By the way, it's him saying yes, we can over and over. It's edited, so it's only the yes, we can.
Yeah, this isn't right. This isn't the entirety of his speech.
Yeah, so here we go.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
There's more yes, we cans.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, okay, now we get into it. Did you hear that? If
Here's
you didn't, I got more.
Reversed part.
Yeah, if you play it backwards, apparently he says, thank you, Satan. So here's another one.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
You know what he's saying? He's saying, make you sane.
Make you sane.
Now listen for those three words.
Yeah, listen for make you sane, and maybe you'll find them. So when he's saying...
Thank you, Satan.
We thought it'd be interesting. Well, Daryl suggested on a text. He says, well, wait a minute. I think this is bullcrap. Why don't you go find a Bob the Builder line where he's always, can we fix it? Yes, we can. Right. And the yes, we can there probably isn't thank you, Satan, in reverse. Brian, I have bad news for you.
Right.
Here's the here it is, just singing it.
Yes, we can.
All right. That's the British take on Bob the Builder saying, yes, right. We can. Here is now Bob the Builder's song, that exact clip, in reverse. We did it live on the pre-show. There's absolutely no tinkering with this. Here's what that says backwards.
Thank you, Satan!
Thank you, Satan!
Thank you, Satan!
That is so awesome! I don't know
what, there is a, what is the psychological term for, like, if you're listening for a specific set of words,
yeah,
your mind will fill in the missing gaps. Like, there's no... Satan, right? I mean, it says Satan. It's like one syllable.
Yeah. No, it's, you're not wrong. Yes, backwards.
Is Sight.
Sight. So,
yes, Sight.
So here's the thing. It's that pattern recognition that humans do. We do it with faces. We do it with looks and places and stuff and expressions. And we do it with words and sounds. Right. And we are looking for things that are familiar to us. And why does this stuff impress us or make us go, whoa, that's weird, is because that's just how we're built. I remember when, you know, supposedly Paul McCartney was dead and he had Bare Feet on the Abbey Road album and everything was backmasked on Paul is dead or whatever. It's like, well, that stuff fascinated the crap out of me. They'd play these radio shows at night and just go for 3 hours talking about it. And I'd be just riveted to the radio. Why? Because that's how we work. When something's out of the ordinary, we go, huh. Well, that's unusual. And boy, you know what? It does sound like he's saying, thank you, Satan. Or so does Bob the Builder.
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan. Can I fix it? Thank you, Satan.
And if anything else, that should be the rebuttal to the person who posted the YouTube video is, oh, Bob Builder says it too.
Yeah.
I'll bet if you said, yes, we can, into a microphone and played it backwards, I'll bet it would sound like you were saying it too.
Oh, we should have done it. We should have done it before the show of us doing it. You know what? At the end, I can't do it now because we're rolling. But at the end of the show, I will reverse Brian and I saying, yes, we can.
Right.
And let's see how enunciate-y we get with the thank you, Satan. That'll be fun. Right. Anyway, good times. The internet is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, there are people I know. I know people.
Yes, we can.
Yes. There are people I know in my immediate relations who, if I played that video for them, they would hook, line, and sinker into that thing. A, because they're already racist. Right. I'm not saying this about everybody. I'm saying this about a very specific person I know. Okay, so this isn't me making a broad statement about everyone. I'm talking about someone I am not related to directly. Let's just say indirectly related to.
Right. You may have married into their family.
I may have done that.
Right.
And they would immediately go, oh, that is terrible. I can't believe it. I can't believe that that's what they would have said, and that crowd was in on it. They would say that.
The whole crowd is like, let's all learn how to say thank you, Satan, backwards.
Yeah. You everyone remember your part? Okay.
Yeah.
Signet, you're smitten with. Anyway, it's so stupid, but I love it. I freaking love it. And I love that some people buy that crap, that you just... You walk into that bulldozer and go, yep, I'm buying it. Oh, there's the Southern guy again. I got to stop doing that.
What we need to do also, so when we record ourselves saying, yes, we can, forwards to flip backwards, we also need to record us saying, thank you, Satan, and see if it sounds like, yes, we can.
Backwards. Oh, Brian, flipping the table. I like it. Okay. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Everyone stay tuned.
That's funny. Okay, and Lao Roman, I said it before you wrote it, so FYI. Great minds think alike.
Who's Lao Roman? Oh, he's a guy in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. Lao Roman. Sounds like something I'd order at the Vietnamese
place.
Give me
two Lao Romans and a side of tzatziki sauce, please.
Oh, yeah, can I get that in the pho, or does the pho come separate? How does the pho work? By the way, did you
saying to do this as John Stossel? Maybe Bob the Builder is a Satan worshiper.
Maybe he doesn't know how to. Did you watch any of those VR videos those guys put up yesterday?
No. Huh?
I tried to watch them without VR, so it looks real weird to see it on just a browser, but it's Schwood and Jury on barefoot skiing in
Austin. Saw it.
Yeah, what'd you think there, Daryl?
Oh, it was great. I love that stuff.
That stuff's fun.
You can point your camera wherever you want. It's like you're there.
Yeah, look at you, man. Did you put it on?
Are we at the stage now where Daryl doesn't even wait to get introduced?
I guess so. Jeez, wait for this. All right, everybody gather around the fire, kick off your shoes, and listen to another episode of Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
Up for Debate, the show that answers life's tough questions. What's the difference between a muffin and a cupcake? Is Monster Mash the best novelty song ever written? Oh. Why is autumn the best season of the year? Get answers to that and so much more on Up for Debate. Debate, let's say that clearly.
Debate.
And now, for a limited time, we're giving away a copy of the hottest card game on planet Earth, The Contender. Maybe you've heard of it? Learn more and enter to win at Up for Debate. Why do I keep wanting to say Up for Debate? Upfordebate.tv.
Because backwards it says, thank you, Satan, for licking my left nipple.
That's right.
Yeah.
I contender. Either contender. Upfordebate.tv. Up for debate. We talk. You decide.
Oh, my gosh. There's way too much Jury in the show already today. He had his time yesterday. Or Tuesday. Okay. Oh, by the way, we got a question about this segment. Somebody had said, hey, your song sounds a lot like the Jeopardy theme, is it? And I said, all right, once in a while I have to tell everyone what the Stump a Trek Nerd theme is. Somebody made this forever ago for us. It's a combination, so listen to it carefully, and then you tell me if it sounds like both Star Trek and the Jeopardy theme together. That part's Star Trek, right? So that's very Star Trek-y. But yes. Now listen to the next part. See, we don't usually play that part.
It's a really clever mashup where they basically just play both songs simultaneously.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. So, anyway.
And backwards, it says.
If y'all were confused, that's what's going on there. All right, Daryl, back to the point of having you here, which is to stump you with a Star Trek question. Let's get right to that. Any thoughts on the back masking? Yes.
Okay, now you're back to normal.
Oh, hi. Did we go away for a minute?
I put you on the speakerphone by accident.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, I almost
disrupt
said...
Disrupt life at the post office there.
I almost said penis. I don't want to say
We're
penis.
We're just going to keep making a place for
Carol. Rated T for too much sass.
Too much sass. Daryl, let's get right to the crux of it. And before we do, though, do you have any thoughts on the back masking phenomenon that was our childhood? That happened a lot when we were kids.
Oh, I think it's a bunch of hokiness, but it's fun to do it anyway.
Yeah, what I want to do, maybe we can start a little trend. Maybe next week people can send us clips of other weird things that sound wrong backwards or something.
Hmm. I want something that was purposely planted that we find. It was put there purposely, not just some accidental thing.
Yeah, that would be cool. I know there are some, because some of the 80s hair bands thought that would be great. So some of them did some of that, but it was super obvious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, Pink Floyd did it at the end of, which one of their, I mean, they basically gave a fake mailing address to send your complaints or comments to or something like that.
Yeah, but wasn't it actually, it was actually in reverse when you.
Right, they actually set it forward.
Yeah.
Flipped it backwards for the album.
Put it on the track and then later you had to go play it backwards. And then you were like, oh, there's a secret thing. Yeah, it's just we love this. Why do you think every once in a while down in South America or someplace, somebody goes, I seen the Virgin Mary in a tree knot. It happens all the time. My potato chip doesn't have Jesus in it. Well, of course it doesn't have Jesus in it. Because we're pattern recognizing creatures. It's what we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like right now, if I angle my head just right, I've got a cable that looks like a snake coming at me. Oh my gosh, it's a symbol.
You have to angle... Just right?
Yeah, if I put my head just like this.
To associate a cable with a snake?
Yeah, I realize they're all snake-like, but if I go like this, I can see, I have this cable down here that looks, if I look at it right from the head-on view, it looks like the head and mouth of like a boa face, just the way that the connector's laying. So it looks like an actual snake, and now I have to wonder, is Satan in my cables? Like, that's the jump you don't need to make.
This CD spindle looks like a penis.
Yeah, exactly. Brian... You've got an obsession with penises.
I've got an obsession with penises.
All right. Enough with the penis. Let's move on to the weenus. That's the skin on your elbow, right? Anyway, Daryl, let's get to your deal.
Right.
Let's get to your thing. It's the stuff. This is your question. It's a Next Generation episode called The Host, a Trill ambassador named Odan. There's a question mark before the O, so I don't know what that means.
That's how you pronounce that. It's Odan.
Odan. He comes aboard the Enterprise as part of a mission. His host body becomes injured, and the symbiote needed to be transplanted. Riker volunteers to be the host for a brief period. Crusher orders Riker to be injected with what drug to stop his heart from rapidly increasing? I assume in beats. You didn't say what.
Yeah, it says heart rate. You just skipped the word rate.
Did I skip the word rate?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Yeah, Scott. Why skip? Why skipping words? Was it one of these following words that all sound like backmasked reverse words? A, metrazine.
Metrazine.
B, contrapine.
Cortrapine.
What?
Cortrapine.
Oh, cortrapine.
It is an R, yeah.
I keep seeing R's as N's today.
Well, when they're right next to a T, there's a little bit of overkerning done, and it does kind of look like that.
You're like my typography 2 class that I took
there's
in college.
Like a little bit of overkerning.
You've got some letting problems, some kerning problems.
Oh, you've got a widow on line 5.
Yeah. Dude, kerning and letting. Oh my gosh. Takes me back. Next one is erythrazine. And finally, let's see if I can get one of these right. Murphodon.
Kind of hard to mess that one up.
Murphodon.
Murphodon.
So those are your options. Did you guys get the Norway chocolate by chance?
Ooh, not yet.
Oh, look at this. I'm not going to eat it yet, obviously, but it's from Sigbjorn Ignis from Brick and Vegan 3140. Oh, I'm not giving his whole address. Kvernedland, Norway. It's from Norway.
Is the chocolate transparent?
No, that would be Finland.
Right. Yes.
Geez, get your translucent race of people straight.
Hey, when we were in Vegas, Karen bought some salted black licorice, and we ate it, and it was good.
You guys are both psychos. Don't you agree, Daryl? That stuff's gross.
Oh yeah, that's yucky.
This wasn't double salted; it was single salted. The guy at the candy shop made sure to clear it up. He's like, Karen says, "Do you have any salted black licorice?" And he's like, yeah, we've got, double salted and single salted. The single salted I have is really nice. And Kren's like, all right, I'll buy a bag of that.
All right, I would rather die, but sounds
it's
like
the licorice awesome. That's the problem.
Yeah,
with
it's
the salt.
It's the
I don't know. When we had those
sleeves,
those
what does
that were
it?
Shaped like lava monkeys or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Those were like double or triple salted. Those were horrendous.
Those were really bad.
Yeah.
It is the sleeves what does it. We haven't played that in a long time.
No.
I don't know where it is, so forget it. Is this it?
You are my slave.
Well, that's a slave.
No, it's a slave is what does it.
Slave is what does it. All right, Daryl, there's your question. Let's get to it in a second. But before that, you probably have this, which is today in Star Trek history.
Oh, yes. Back in 1990, the final draft script for TNG's Captain's Holiday is submitted.
That's the one we talked about yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where he meets Vash.
Yep.
Right. And like, Ryza.
The Horgon and the thing and the stuff.
She says, you throw me the idol, I throw you the whip. And then he throws her the whip. And then she goes and gets stabbed by a bunch of stuff through a wall. Or am I thinking of Indiana Jones and the Lost Crusade? All right.
Something like that. One of those two, for sure.
Sure. All right. Well, there you go. That's a good thing to celebrate. Let's all celebrate in our minds and hearts as Daryl now answers this question about metrazine corp. Cortrapine, right?
Cortrapine.
Arthrazine, right? Or Murphodon.
Murphodon. That's a disease that Muppets get.
Yeah, the Murphodon. Mm-hmm. Oh, you never want that. What would be the symptoms of Murphodon, Brian?
Pilling of your fur.
Bad luck and looking like a dinosaur.
Eyes falling off.
Right. Yes. What else? I'm trying to think.
The inability to... take out Imperial walkers,
right? Or the hand of your puppeteer stuck in there,
right?
Some swelling occurs. Did you guys ever see my comic I did about the Muppets making out? It's one of my favorites I ever did. It's a little high concept.
What page is it on in the Extra Life book?
It's in there. I don't know what page, but I could tell you this: that it's the depiction is of two Muppets. It's basically you see the little bit of the arm that's up the Muppet's body. but then mostly Muppet heads, and one of them's talking about how much he loves the other one, and the other one's, I love you too. And then they come together and start making out, and then by the next panel, their Muppet bodies are flipped off, and it's just naked. It's just hands kissing like this. And then another Muppet comes in and is all shocked at what he's seeing. Nice. I don't know why I think that's so funny, but it's one of my favorite things.
There's a new movie, one of the ones that's nominated for Best Animated Film, is a movie called Anomalisa, which is not computer animation, but like traditional puppetry, stop motion, and it's Charlie Kaufman behind it, you know, who did Eternal Sunshine and Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
And apparently there's puppet sex.
Oh. Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That puppets making out.
Not for the kids?
Doing it. Nope, not for the kids.
All right. Well, you never know what you're going to get,
so
I guess.
Go see Inside Out.
You know what we should say about that?
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan. All right. Daryl, back to your deal here. What do you think? How are you feeling about these dumb words?
A couple of these sound familiar, and two do not. The Muppet one does not sound familiar.
Murphodon?
Yeah, okay. So I'm crossing that out.
All right.
Quatrapine? I don't know. I think I'll cross that out, too, because that doesn't sound familiar.
All right.
Arthur Miller. Oh, that helps you do math better, so they wouldn't be using that.
No.
Right.
What? Wait, what? Math? What? I don't get
arithmetic.
Oh, arithmetic. Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I know it was bad, but.
It's all right. I couldn't find it, but now I've got it. It's fine. I like a good bad joke. You know that.
Okay. Well, why else am I here?
I'll tell three or four of those today. That's my job.
So that leaves Metrazine. And what was the drug for?
It was to help his heartbeat from getting too fast while he held
the
trill.
See? It would metronomize the heart.
Oh, right. Meter. Interesting.
His heartbeat.
That makes sense. It's a Latin root letter word thing. Right.
Right? Right.
I've been to school.
Know. Maybe.
I don't remember what I learned. All right. Well, you say A then. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah,
let's find out if he's right. I had a rough day yesterday. See if you're back on track.
Congratulations.
You did it.
So good.
You're a winner.
This is from season 4. Riker's heart rate keeps increasing. Krischer, as he wrote here, orders an injection of Metrazine to deal with this. Here is a clip of all that happening right now.
Vital signs. Heart rate 110. Blood pressure 90 over 40. I can't close yet. The assimilation's not complete. Pulse 130. And climbing. EEG is erratic. He's going to start fibrillating. 200 milligrams of Metrazine.
Yes, doctor.
Hey, who was the Asian nurse? Was it
Dr. Kelly Nakahara?
That's it. I liked her.
No, it's not. I'm kidding. That was the one from MASH.
Oh, right. Kelly. What was it? It was like Chang or Yang.
Oh.
Dr. Yang.
Send your emails.
Well, it's just, look, Star Trek is not above doing a little, you know, stereotyping. I can't remember. I liked her, though.
Right.
And she always called her by her first name. She'd say, Crusher would say, what would he say? Or she say? He. Never mind. I've dug this hole deep enough. All right. Let's let's bring it back down to the point, which is that you can follow more of Daryl's.
I don't know, but she was good at math.
She sure was. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, where he goes in greater depth into Star Trek episodes with Michael Gaines and on the Grumpy Cast. All right, Daryl, play a game with us now of your own choosing. Sounds like you're going to be digging back into the archive yet again.
Oh, no, I'm doing Swarm stuff that he won't ask. He won't ask me TOS questions.
Oh, that's right. What was it, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Alyssa Ogawa.
Oh, that's right, because she'd say, Alyssa, I've got to go take Wesley to get his shots. Can you watch the meta hole for me? Or something like that.
Right.
Okay.
There's always Dr. Ogawa this and Dr. Ogawa that.
Yeah. I don't think Ogawa. Oh, so she was Japanese then. Because Ogawa is very Japanese.
Sounds like a, right, yes. Yeah. Looking to see if it says where she's.
I mean, then again, Picard's supposed to be French, so, you know, all bets are off in Star Trek, but, you know, whatever. Jean-Luc Picard talks like a British man. You know, do you think they didn't talk about in that documentary, Trouble on the Bridge or whatever? What was that called?
Trouble on the Bridge, wasn't that it?
Bridge over Troubled Water.
Disaster something.
Disaster Bridge. Bridge of Disaster. They never spoke about this, but I always wondered if he was meant to be played by a French actor first and then maybe got the job later and they just
I could see that. Could see that.
Because that name and then having him be British like that was always really weird. Anyway,
right.
Doesn't matter. Daryl, this is a dig up. This is the things that Iceworm won't ask you, right?
Yeah.
All right. I got a theme for you. Hold on. Let's do this one.
Ready for breakfast. Here's the table. Father, Mother, Bill, and Mabel.
All right.
I want the whole thing. That's nice. A good one.
Yeah.
I want to request that as a end of show song.
It's not bad.
Okay. Original series communicator bodies were made by vacuforming textured plastic around one of these pieced together items.
Oh, okay.
Was it, or do you want to play another thing?
No.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Was it a pencil box or a shoe insert?
I'll play this.
Wear it on your dominant arm.
There you go. A pencil box or a what?
A shoe insert.
Probably
one of those shoe stretcher things. You know, those wooden things that...
My dad had those.
Yeah.
I don't think people do those now. Do they?
I think they do.
Aren't our shoes good enough? We don't need a piece of wood
in
there.
Shoes are just cheap enough that people just get a new pair if they need it. No, if they
that's,
don't,
that's true.
They need it stretched.
I bought some Doc Martens back in 1993, mm-hmm. and I still wear them.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Yeah. I don't know how Doc Martin makes any money because, I mean, they were like $75, which seemed like a lot of money then, but they've lasted me so long, I've never had to go buy new Doc Martens. Like, how do they get recurring business?
That's awesome.
It's crazy. Nobody makes products like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like my grandma's iron. You know, like if you buy an iron, you go through an iron like once every 6 months because they break and they suck. But my grandma had this thing she bought in the 50s. And when she died, we got the iron somehow. That thing lasted another, I don't know, that lasted most of the 90s and aughts for me.
Right. Yeah, we've got a blender from Tina's grandmother that is still, like, it's one of those where you've got, like, 11 push buttons on the front. When you push one in, another one pops up, and it's big, thick glass. Tristan uses that at least twice a week for making milkshakes and
I don't
stuff.
Think durability and quality...
They just don't make things as well anymore.
They don't. Durability and quality don't mesh well with growth in a capitalistic society.
Right.
Because at some point you have to keep making money. I mean, some companies try, I mean, say what you want about Apple, but they make really solid, awesome products. Mm-hmm. But the way that they get you to buy the one next year is have this big cloud of excitement, hype, some of it fake, some of it real, about innovations that may or may not be great, but it's enough to drive you to go, ooh, latest and greatest. The other one's old now. But really it was, you know, I have Macs that last 7-10 years.
Yeah.
Without ever needing any work on them. Like, it's not like they have a problem with the quality, but they've convinced me that I need to keep upgrading anyway.
Totally.
That's hard to do in the fast-paced, you know, dog-eat-dog world of technology.
Anyway, here it is right here.
What was that sound? What was that?
Can't. It was me.
Oh. Did you fart? What was it?
You can't do that with irons. No.
Oh, you can't do that with irons. No, you're right. You don't want to buy the new iron every year. It's a bad idea. All right. So Brian, what do you think?
Vacuum formed either around a pencil case or pencil box or a shoe tool. What did you call it? A shoe insert?
Shoe insert.
Yeah.
Shoe insert.
A pencil box seems too flimsy to me.
I don't know. I mean, it could be there again. They were better made back then. Which device is this? The communicators?
Yeah, the TOS original flip open Captain Kirk communicators.
Yeah. I want to say pencil box because at least the shoe inserts that I'm thinking of are all rounded, and the communicators weren't rounded. They were square, weren't they?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Or no, they had a curve to the top of them.
They did, but that would have been really short pencil boxes too.
Yeah. You know what?
These are the front toes of those inserts, I think.
Right, right.
All right.
They just don't have the top arch, but we're going to, I think, let's stick with it. Let's say shoe insert.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Leonard Nimoy, bring us your shoe insert. We need to make a communicator. Right. Yeah.
A shoehorn's a different thing, people. Shoehorn you put in the heel of the shoe so that you can slip your foot in without bending the heel in.
Yeah. That little L or that little metal thing. My dad had those and I never knew what they were for.
Yeah. I like the long... the long-handled ones of those, so you don't even have to bend down to shoehorn.
Those are good. They should make a combo one of those and a back scratcher, so you can just
they should
dual do it. Anyway.
All right, we're saying shoe insert.
We say shoe insert.
Okay. I actually used to have one of these, and I put pencils in it. It was a pencil box.
Now how small were your pencils? Were they teeny?
No, no. They cut this up and glued it together in the shape of a communicator. And
really?
Man, that is low rent. And then vacuum formed around it.
That is low rent. Wow. I thought taking old flashlights and making lightsabers out of them.
You should.
And I'll post a picture.
I was going to say, tweet a photo of that.
Yep, yeah. I will.
Wait, you made recently made one?
No, I used to have one when I was little.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Well, in school.
Do you still have it? You still have the exact one?
No, it's long gone.
Oh, I would love to see that. Just think of the
But you will, because I'm going to tweet it.
Yay! All right, there goes Daryl.
There he goes.
News.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
On Sunday, January 24th, the Weekly Bleep is marking 100 episodes. You'd think after 2 years we'd be better at this by now. Join Marcus, Chris, special guest Sean from Trivia Geeks, and a roundtable of assorted miscreants and ne'er-do-wells from the past. It's going to be quite a thing. Sunday, 8 p.m. Pacific, Alpha Geek Audio Channel 2, or theweeklybleep.com.
You're becoming me.
I am becoming you. I swear it's this cold that's really screwing me up.
Yeah, that'll do that. It goes in there and messes with your whatnots.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on Twitter told me that my so far liking of Nurse Jackie may turn. They say it gets pretty dark, that show. Is that true? Does it get real dark?
It does get dark, yeah.
Did you know? I didn't know this. Did you know the pharmacist guy? I assume he's in the whole series. I don't know.
He's in the whole series, yes.
He was the priest in The Sopranos that she, same actress, Edie Falco, had kind of a crush on.
Oh, right. I forgot that.
He was the priest man.
He's great. He's a really good actor. And
yeah, I like that guy a lot. His nose is really broken, though.
Yeah.
Man,
that like thing is... Like a hockey player or something.
And go over to Owen Wilson's house and have a party. Tori Spelling is in the news.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. It's been a while.
Hot off the presses here. Hot off her fame as a 90210 star. Tori Spelling.
God. She's just facing troubles all over the place with her husband and his.
It's not going well. Yeah.
Infidelities. Oh.
Is her dad dead yet? The famous TV producer?
Yes, Aaron Spelling has passed.
Dead. All right. Well, I think
10 years ago, maybe?
Okay. He was older.
Yes.
In fact, didn't he produce 90210?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah. And I think like Baywatch and things like that. I could have that wrong.
I don't know about Baywatch. TJ Hooker.
Oh, really? Great.
All those spinoffs of Beverly Hills 90210, like Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah. That was him?
Models, Inc.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Right. And Love Boat and Hotel and...
Here, I've got a TJ Hooker clip for you.
Right. Why don't you go back inside, back to your TV, and let's see what we can do.
All right. That's some sweet.
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
Here's another one about it. This says Hooker. I don't know what it is.
Got it off of Hooker in Cloud City. Why?
Oh, that's not it. Turns out that it's not TJ Hooker.
Oh, is that, sounds like, is that Lost Empire Strikes Back clips or something?
I don't know what that is.
Didn't he say Cloud City?
Yeah, he did. What have we here? All right. Anyway, Tori Spelling in the news. She's being sued by American Express, makers of the blue card that costs you too much to own.
Right, yes.
It's over unpaid credit card bills. Tori Spelling has been slapped with a lawsuit by American Express charging that the 90210 Beverly Hills star owes nearly $40,000 in unpaid credit card bills. According to TMZ, the daughter of famed producer Aaron Spelling has been behind in her Amex bill since this last summer. And her last balance statement was $37,981.97. She's made a payment in several months, or hasn't made a payment in several months. And the last one she attempted to make bounced. Mm. The company is down demanding full and immediate payment. Brian, if I spent $40,000 on a credit card from July till today, what's going on if that happened?
Right.
What are you buying? What do you got going there? Unless you really are behind on everything else, like you're paying.
I think that's probably it. It's just, you know, she had a reality show that didn't work out. She's had made for TV movies that probably haven't paid.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Says here, money woes have been the constant issue for Spelling and her husband, Dean McDermott.
Dean McDermott.
How do I know who that is? That's not guy with his wiener out in the American Horror
That's
Story.
That's Dylan McDermott is who you're thinking of. Yeah.
Are they related?
Oh, I don't know.
Hmm. I wonder if they
If so, then she definitely got the raw end of that deal.
She got the poopy brother.
She got the poopy brother, yes.
The two reportedly fought almost nonstop over money during the recent holiday season, and the 49-year-old McDermott constantly badgering his wife about her excessive spending. Mm. Well, if it's $40K on a credit card, that's pretty excessive.
Yeah. Don't do that. He was on, it does not look like he's related to Dylan McDermott, but he was on Chopped, a television show about the cooking competition.
Oh, was he a contestant or a host?
I think he was host looking at this.
Okay.
Let's see. He he loves to play golf, owns two golden retrievers.
Uh-huh.
Please welcome to Jeopardy, Dean McDermott. It says here you love to play golf.
Tell us more.
Well, I do love to play golf.
It says here you have a very interesting hobby.
It's trying to get my wife to stop spending money. I don't know why he talks like this.
Hey, Brian, I put this other link in here just for funsies, just for laughs. Leonardo DiCaprio's new doppelganger. Now, this is no good for listeners at home. You're going to want to go look this up somewhere on the internet. But click that link and scroll down and look who they think looks like him.
All right.
Chat room.
Oh, jeez. Really?
I know. I mean, it looks like him in another dimension, like a ruined...
we found Leo in the Russian forces.
Check it out. He has put on some weight. Drinks lots of vodka. I'm going to put it here in the chat.
He ate rose.
I don't know why I wasn't in the chat room to begin with. Sorry, everyone. I'm back. Yeah, that's...
And then this other one right here is like... looks more like...
He ate rose.
I'm the thing of the world.
That's pretty good.
This other one looks like, Edward Furlong more. Not Edward Furlong, but River Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the Swedish dude.
The one down at the bottom, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are supposedly his two doppelgangers. What a dumb thing to put.
Yeah.
What a waste of web space.
I'm giving this to the Slack. Hey, Slack, here you go. Click in the link. Boom.
Check
enjoy.
It out. Yeah. Especially the fat
Slackers.
Guy. All right. Finally, a surgeon has claimed that a monkey head transplant is possible.
Okay, good.
Controversial neuroscientist has long promoted a human head transplant as a cure for paralysis, is now claiming that the procedure has been successfully tested on monkeys. So, by the way, this is not...
Is this a movie we watched on FilmSec or is this real?
This is real. Well, he claims it's real. Keep in mind that this is not putting a monkey on a person's body or the other way around. It is monkeys on monkeys.
Okay.
Sergio...
Monkey on monkey action.
There you go. Sergio Canarvio, otherwise known as Dr. Nick. A neurosurgeon at the Turin Advanced Neuromodulation Group in Italy. That sounds real. recently announced that researchers in Harbin Medical University in China have successfully transplanted the head of a monkey onto a different body of another monkey. It's according to New Scientist. That's a New Scientist. That's a magazine or something. Mm-hmm. Doctors connected the blood supply of the head and the new body, but did not attempt to connect the spinal cord. Well, what good are you then?
Right. Let's just do this much. That'll be enough.
It'll be fine. It says here, the monkey survived the procedure without any neurological injury of whatever kind, he says. That's a weird thing to say. He added that the monkey was only kept alive for 20 hours after the procedure for ethical reasons. Yeah, because ethically it was nice to rip it off its own body and stick it onto another one.
Right.
Oh, well, it's my old friend Ned with an arm for a head and a leg for a whatever.
I guess this is, this is something, if they're saying that they can do with monkeys, then probably could be done with humans. And if somebody's got a lung disease or something, heart disease, putting their head on,
I guess so,
a donor's body?
Well, no, I don't. Well, maybe. Let's think of the practical application here.
I mean,
is it like, we've beheaded this person, but thank goodness Jerry decided to give us his body.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
Just passed away. He's got a compatible body.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want another body.
Oh, see, it's horror movie stuff just written all over it, isn't it?
I don't like it. I also don't like it.
The body starts doing things that the head isn't telling you
exactly,
to do.
Exactly.
The head's not in control. Oh, why are we going this way?
What are we doing? What's the deal?
Why am I sounding like Seinfeld?
Elaine! What if... I feel bad for the monkey. That's where I'm at. Like, I don't know about that. Like, cutting it. Like, come here, Bobo. Your day has come, Bobo. Come here, boy.
Right.
Don't worry. Right. It's fine. We're not going to cut your head off and put it on another monkey's body. Oh, another monkey. Come here, Boo Boo. I'm sorry, but your body, we don't need your head now. Ugh.
I like the 20 hours, too, is like apparently the standard for ethics.
Yeah.
For this. So, nope. 21 hours, then you're unethical.
Yeah. Kill it. Let the monkey die after this horrible torture we put it through. I mean, was it sitting there blinking?
The monkey, isn't it?
Was it sitting there blinking and going like, you know?
Probably.
Ooh, ooh. All right. I'm not. Ooh, ooh. I am not. I'm not a PETA guy, all right? I'm not a big PETA man, but this seems bad. All right, we're going to take a break.
I don't know. It seems like a good, you know, it's something that could benefit humankind later on. It just is. It does seem.
Maybe we're learning from it something.
A little heavy. I mean, it seems like if they would have connected the spinal cord, maybe, you know, ethically, they could have kept the monkey alive. I don't know.
Oh, Florida man says, what is the sound of a monkey crying? I bet those scientists know.
Oh, geez.
That's dark, dude.
It really is dark.
A little reminder for you fine folks at home that today's episode is brought to you in part by Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. You know them, you love them. Where else are you going to get a website made for so much ease of use? Nowhere, I say. I mean this seriously. I've never used a service that was as easy to get my head around than Squarespace and still have people come to the site and go, my gosh, this is beautiful. Who did this for you? And I say, well, I did it. And they say, well, who helped you? I said, well, Squarespace. I mean, you know, they have rad templates. They have an amazing set of tools that is always evolving and getting better. If you can believe that. I love Squarespace. And I'd love to save you some money if you go use them. Go to squarespace.com, start the free trial. And when you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. That's squarespace.com and the code MORNING. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, it's Wendy and Therapy Thursday. Before that, though, music, and you brought it, and so play it.
I did bring it. Howdy, salsa and balsa. So I recently turned the incredibly uneventful age of 22. Oh. And with all the lack of festivities, I completely forgot to throw a request in for a musical celebration. Hopefully, I can get a request in for some time in the month of my birthday. I want to thank you guys for the past 22 years of keeping me going through the crap that life sometimes takes on you. We haven't been around for all 22 years, I don't think.
Nope.
Oh, here we go. Well, it's more like 4 years, but you get the idea. Hey, dude, it's more like 5 years if you start at the beginning.
5 years on Monday.
Woo! Right. So, Brian, you get the task of grabbing a good song and slamming it down as usual. I'll put my trust in you, but should you fail me, a certain chicken sandwich song will do the trick.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so unprepared for this one.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
There you go.
Kick the Dojo, signed, The Skeleton.
Nice.
Nice. He actually provided me a list of 9 songs.
Okay.
And I went with the 6th one in his list, a cover of the song Magic by Pilot, a fun song from the 70s that, you know, you'll remember as soon as you hear it. If just hearing Magic by Pilot doesn't do it for you. This one comes from a band called Glad Hands, great power pop group, released in 2009. And you can find it as part of a internet collection called Tributes or Not Tributes Strikes Back. This is Glad Hands and Magic.
It's not so.
Over there, three fat people.
Your vagina was very nice.
This is the Morning Squeerini.
Oh, we're back. Hello, everybody. We're back. Welcome back. Man, I forgot about that one.
Your vagina was very nice.
That's very nice.
That's very nice.
Let's
apparently a new thing on the internet.
Yeah.
In China is under boobs holding pens.
Why?
I don't know. It just is.
I don't want that to be a
Dice
thing.
Tomato posted a link that the underboob pen challenge is taking the internet by storm.
Is this a YouTube thing?
Here you go. I'll give you a link.
All right.
I'll put a Skype here for you.
Okay. All right. Oh, geez. Okay. Underboob pen challenge. Craze takes the internet by storm. What? I don't think this is all that challenging.
Well, it is for some women. I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I'd rank it up there with the ALS challenge, but.
I think the challenge is not to do it. That's the challenge. You've right. got too much time on your hands if you're taking pictures of your boob holding up a pen. That's all I'm saying.
But please don't stop.
Yeah, but don't, on our account, do not stop. All right, let's get Wendy in here. Let's bring her in. Let's add her to this conversation. Let's let her see the terrible link you put in.
Right, great, good timing.
That's great timing.
Delete.
I don't know if you even can you? I don't think you can.
I don't think I can. It's in there permanently now. No, I can.
No, it does let you? Oh, weird.
Yep. Remove message. Boom.
All right. Message removal complete. Oh, yeah, it did. It worked. Yeah, it wasn't letting me do it, but it let you do it. That's good.
Oh, because I'm the original.
Yeah, you're the sender.
I'm the sender. I'm the person responsible for that business.
Under Moob. Yes, Tondragosa. Under Moob is the correct terminology there. all right, we're going to get Wendy in the room. We're going to talk about a question we held over from last week. Brian was ill, so we didn't do it. All right, well, Wendy appears to be unavailable at the moment, but if she gets in, we will grab her. In the meantime, let's read a couple of emails. How about this one?
Okay.
Todd Marco says,
you start recording again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can hear me now. Can you guys at home hear me? Todd Marco wrote in and says, love the show. You guys are really awesome. I have a suggestion for a recommendal. Movies... with actors or actresses that have been that have been convicted of a major crime.
I love that.
That's not bad.
Nice. Okay, let's use that after the current one, which is punk, jock, or nerd, and a prop that's red, white, or blue.
Are any of the Naked Gun movies streaming? Because those all had O.J. Simpson in them.
Right, yeah.
And while he wasn't convicted for the heinous murder he probably committed, he was convicted for the Vegas stuff later.
Right.
So... Yeah.
I don't think we can count documentaries. That would be a little too easy.
No, too easy.
Yeah, it has to be fictional film with convicted. What determines a major crime? So not a felony?
It'd have to be a felony and not just a misdemeanor, right?
Oh, I see. Right. Yes.
Yeah. So I think anything felony or higher could be a murder, could be grand theft, larceny sort of things, mm-hmm. breaking into a house like what's her name did.
Charlie Sheen movies or
oh yeah.
Has he ever been convicted of a felony?
Well, only in the hearts of all Americans. I'm not entirely sure. Here's an email from somebody who said, his name is Chris. He says, sorry if you've mentioned this already. I'm a day behind. But if you have not heard or seen this official Trump jam, you should. It is absolutely ridiculous and apparently 100% real. Surely there are some usable sound bites in there. All right, let's play this. Oh, these are those girls. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay, there's three little girls, probably age. I'm going to guess that one's 5, that one's 9, that one's maybe 10. And they're all up in dresses that are American flag dresses, like red, white, and blue, stars on the tops, and the skirts are red and white stripes, okay? They're at a Trump rally. They're up next to his podium, and they're singing. They're doing this before Trump comes in. So here you go.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Is that Wendy? Oh, man.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
Thank you. Saved us.
We're going to have to save that little thing for later, everybody. You just hold on to your butts, and we'll play it after we're done with Wendy. Hi, how are you? What's going on? Are you everything all right over there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Great.
We called and called.
To get to a good quiet place.
I guess so. We called and called and it never picked up and we thought, oh no, something horrible has happened, but you're here, so that's good.
Yeah. I was just walking around holding the phone.
Did it not ring?
Snow off kids? No, yeah. I don't know. And then when I noticed, I even had the ringer on. Anyway, when I noticed, I was like, oh, and then I hung straight up.
Oh.
Because that's what you do.
Well, that's what you
anyway,
do.
Anyway, so I apologize.
You're totally fine. We're good to go and good to roll. It's Wendy Dunford. She's my sister. She lives in Sweden. And she's here to talk about helping people. We have a thing from last week we're just going to use again, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
And at the end of this whole thing, I think you've got, we have, you know, a little bit of an announcement, right? Are we doing that today?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I'm excited. People are going to be all jazzed about that. So stay tuned for that. All right. Here's your question, Wendy.
Yes.
This is from somebody named Chronic 22. Sounds like a band name, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah.
Chronic 22.
Chronic 22. My favorite.
They're the best. Here's how it goes. So what's the difference between a manic person and a depressive person? And how do you know the difference? Can you be both? I think my wife is both. She's way too happy sometimes and then very sad sometimes. Mm. Chronic 22. Now, before you answer it, Wendy, I would just like to know, this is a sliding scale, isn't it? Like, there's no way this is like easy enough just to say, oh, well, manic people say this and depressive people say that. Next question. It's got to be more complicated than that.
Right. Well, you know, manic, depressive usually go together.
Mm.
There's usually a little dash there. That's the old school way of kind of referring to this challenge. And bipolar is the kind of technical term, right?
Yeah.
You've all heard the term bipolar.
Oh, sure.
So I'm going to talk about, I'm going to break this down into very clinically sound, smallest words I can find of like how to understand.
It's good
this
for me.
Yeah, I'm bringing it to Brian's level. All right. I'm saying. No, because I think this is really misunderstood. Because, you know, my 13-year-old daughter, you could be like, yeah, she's manic depressive, but she's 13 and it looks a lot the same.
Yeah.
And also sort of popular media just throws around bipolar when anyone has any sort of shift in mood at all. Like, oh, you're happy now, you're sad. Okay. You must be bipolar. Or there's, you know, there's sort of joking about it, right?
Yeah. People just say, dude, she is so bipolar. Like right. One minute she's happy, the next minute she's like, that doesn't mean anything when people say that anymore. Seems like.
Right. 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 Exactly.
They throw it around. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we do that with other things like schizophrenia or whatever it is. We just don't, you're psycho. I mean, have you really met someone psycho? Believe me, we shouldn't throw that around because it's a lot.
An actual psycho, an actual psychotic person is it's a very scary, sad million. Knowing someone who is clinically described by their many doctors as a psychotic individual. It sounds like saying the word "round." It sounds so slangy, even just using it in that context, because we've co-opted it as such. But man, it is a sad state. It's nothing to, you know,
nothing
to throw around.
And let me just tell you, I'm sounding high-minded now, but I will throw around psycho all the time. So
yeah, yeah. She's called me a psycho before.
I know,
right?
Yeah. It fits.
Well,
sometimes.
if the shoe fits,
yeah.
That's right. So this bipolar thing, though,
fits.
I'm going to tell you the real difference between like, oh, okay, someone's just moody. And he's saying, you know, my wife, sometimes way too happy, sometimes way too sad. That can just be normal. But I'm going to describe a bunch of stuff and he may listen to this and go, oh, we should get her evaluated. Or, oh, that's just kind of normal up and down kind of thing, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's describe or define mania for a second. So think about like the best day you've ever had.
Okay.
Like the highest naturally, Brian, I know you're in Colorado, but the highest natural high. Like you're feeling awesome. Everything's going your way. And like nothing bad happens. It's a fantastic day. Okay. Can you think of a time or even maybe an hour you've had like that? Okay, great. So it feels super great. So people think, oh, mania is like where, yeah, it's just awesome. Like high and you just kind of have adrenaline, you're doing cool stuff. No, that's called flow. There's lots of terms for that. Like it's called a good day or it's called flow. It's called whatever. Mania is like, take that and then, you know, electrocute it. So it's just buzzing, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the criteria if you're going to get diagnosed with having a manic episode, right?
Okay.
So this gives you an idea of what mania is really like. And if you've talked to someone who's had this experience, it is not like, it's kind of awesome. They feel a little godlike at the time, but at the same time, it's also uncomfortable. And so I'll get into that. And it has to last about a week to be technically a manic episode. And think about this for a week when I describe this, okay? Inflated self-esteem or grandiosity, like you are the godlike thing, like I'm awesome, right?
Right.
And you have to have three of these criteria. I'm going to tell you seven. You have to have three to get the diagnosis, but they have to last a week. So the second one is decreased need for sleep. Basically, 3 hours, you're good to go.
Wow. That's
which I could use every once in a while, but no.
Holy shit. Think about that. That seems crazy.
Where do I get this mania?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and I'll tell you a little about, we'll talk about some sad parts of this and suicide being one. And often folks with bipolar really struggle taking medication because they miss the mania because they really are ridiculously productive or whatever, right? So 3 hours of sleep is pretty much all they need. More talkative than normal, meaning it's like a pressure to keep speaking. I think my kids all have this one.
I have this too, though. I do this. Mm-hmm. I cannot. Well, we've talked about it before. We can't do the silence. We have to keep going.
Right.
Yeah, but this is more like as opposed to just socially inept like we are.
Yeah.
But okay. So number four, flight of ideas is that's actually a pretty common one. So your thoughts are racing. There's nothing you can do to stop them. Mm-hmm. They're just and you have lots of ideas. Now imagine you add these flight of ideas and your increased, you know, dangerously increased level of grandiosity or self-esteem.
All right. Yeah.
Because you got that. Then number five would be distractibility. You're just bouncing all over the place.
Okay.
Number six is an increase in goal-directed behavior, which sounds a little weird with distractibility, but it's usually risky behavior. So gambling, socially, work-wise, sexually, can be in so many different areas where you're just hyper goal-directed. Like a not uncommon thing I've heard is in manic phases, people will repaint the entire inside of their home.
Oh my gosh.
Right. But think about it. 3 hours of sleep every night lasting a week, you're going to be able to do some stuff. And it's usually like that, like this very goal-directed thing. Some people will shop until they are literally bankrupt in a week.
Yeah.
And then people do risky behavior, obviously. Number seven is excessive involvement. And this is the kicker. Excessive involvement in pleasurable activities with high potential for painful consequences. So this is where people can really screw up their lives, right? So they just go out and sleep with a bunch of people and ruin their relationships, or they, you know, rob banks or whatever, right? So there's lots of super fun, super exciting, but, you know, the
adrenaline kind of,
like a
Bodhi from Point Break had mania.
Yeah,
totally.
Well, hold on. Can it also be like people who are always claim to be adrenaline junkies? Do they fall in that category, or can they? I suppose the ones that want to, you know, base jump all day and, you know, constantly jump over burning barrels and things.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's definitely not 100% of those people, but I guarantee if we took a sample from the regular population and the base jumpers of America, you're going to find a higher. That's not even a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, the base jumpers of America. They're a fantastic organization.
And this is the anecdotal. This is anecdotal, but I have had a couple clients who are ER doctors.
Yeah.
And you know, they will self-describe as we are adrenaline junkies. I mean, you think of what they do.
Yeah.
Someone comes in and they're bleeding and it's an emergency and you know that adrenaline. And one of them said to me, she said, "I work to make money so I can travel around the world and do crazy stuff, jump off stuff, climb stuff," you know? So you could say that's still within the range of normal. It's just more of a personality or maybe a set, you know, kind of a base rate on how they experience excitement, right? Like maybe they need a little more to get them excited. Like my kid can just be bleeding a little bit. I'm like, this is enough excitement. I can't handle it, you know?
Right.
Interesting. So there's that. Okay. All right. So then let's talk about the other. So the reason it's called bipolar is because you have the two poles. You have the manic-sided pole, and the other pole is depression.
The two extremes, basically.
The two extremes, and they go together. So his question mentions this, like, sometimes she's way too happy, and then sometimes she's way too sad. So I'm guessing she might fall into another category, but let's talk about the depression for a minute. So to get the diagnosis, you need depression as well, right? And this has to last at least 2 weeks to get the actual diagnosis. This isn't just a bad evening.
Oh, okay. So it can't. So when somebody says, oh, I'm so bipolar, or yesterday I had a great day, today I'm having a terrible day, and then the next day they're fine again, that's they need to quit calling themselves that.
Yeah. They're just normal. That's just life, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can have another form, which is called dysthymia, which is like a chronic sadness with episodes of mania within there. And that's not fun. But depression is, I mean, it's like you're up on the cliff having a great time and then you jump off the cliff and now you're in just worse. And what they find is as people have these, so the manic episodes are actually the dangerous ones. Mm. Depression, you think, oh, that's when people kill themselves. And usually the connection for someone with bipolar is the fluctuating between the two is so difficult. So imagine the most productive, the happiest, godlike you've ever felt, and then you crash after that. So the contrast is really severe and pretty dangerous. Okay. No. So there's two kinds of bipolar. There's bipolar one, and that means you have to have one of at least one manic episode, which I just described, to have the diagnosis. Bipolar two is you don't actually have to be full blown manic. You just have to have at least one hypomanic episode.
Okay.
So just not as many symptoms. It's a little more mild. It's probably just like a great day. Well,
that's a pretty raw deal to only have the one manic day, but expect 2 weeks of your diagnosis to be 2 weeks of terrible depression. It feels like you're getting, you're not getting, I don't wish anyone had bipolar, but it feels like it'd be nicer if it was padded out with more of those crazy days, or maybe not, because you're saying those are the dangerous ones.
Well, and I think for someone who's bipolar and or knows someone or loves someone who is, and they're saying, oh, you're making this sound like 2 weeks. Are you kidding? I've never seen my loved one be depressed for only 2 weeks because that's often a lot longer than that and a lot darker than that. But 2 weeks has to be there for the diagnosis, which is kind of why I'm focusing on the diagnosis, because he's saying, is she this thing? Because she's got these things. And at this point, she still probably isn't meeting any of this criteria until the next one I'll tell you about. And that is cyclothymia, which is hypomania. So not the full blown, with depression that isn't so severe to meet the full. So they're just cycling between kind of middle mania and middle depression.
Okay.
And kind of, they call it low grade cycling of mood.
Okay.
So it could be personality trait. The key here for it to be some sort of a diagnosable problem that can be treated is that it interferes with functioning. That's often how we sort of determine what mental illness means, right? Mm-hmm. Like people who can function and are mentally ill, we're like, okay, go, keep going to work.
Yeah, you're functioning.
But if it interferes, then we're like, oh boy, now you get a label and now you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a rapid cycling form of this. But even such, it's 4 times a year you may have these fluctuations, not 4 times a week. So if it's just up and down, there may be other things going on. That
so it's not to say there's not something wrong. It just isn't necessarily this.
Diagnosable.
Mania or depression.
Right.
Sure.
Another Jay Martin in the chat room asked, is there something external that triggers the change from manic to depression and vice versa, or is it all chemical?
Yes, that is a great question. So let me tell you about some of the treatment, and that will answer that question, actually.
All right.
Also, there's mixed affective episodes, which this is the worst one. You have them both happening at the same time.
Ooh.
So think about that. Jeez. You are manic and depressed at the same time.
That sounds like a raw deal.
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks will get hospitalized during their manic episode because no one can sort of calm them down. Or it's like, you know, meth. I think it mimics the meth thing a little bit, maybe not the picking your skin off and freaking out exactly, but it's the staying up for a long time and, you know, and you can't talk to someone in that state. And that can often be the case with someone who's pretty manic, is you sense doesn't work as much and your influence isn't. So often, you know, you have family members taking them into the hospital because they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So treatment, that's like not your best choice.
It's wait, before you get to that, let me ask you a question about causation here real fast before I forget. This is a thing. Okay. I think I already know the answer, but maybe just for clarity. Manic depression or some variation of it, can it come from anything, or is it always genetic? Is it always environmental? Is it a combination of all of those things? Like, people with chronic pain are often treated for depression because suddenly that introduces that. I don't know about the manic side, but my point is, it's not, is it always like, I get this from my mom, or is it that you can get it from, I don't mean it's communicable, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it can be your environment, your experiences, whatever, right?
Right. So that's a great question. 60 to 80% we believe is hereditary. So okay, it's really highly hereditary.
All right.
You often find when you do the family history of somebody, you know, tell me about any uncles that seemed to be having a hard time, or your dad, or, you know, and you will find that there is somewhere in the family lore that there's somebody. That's 60, 80% is pretty high.
That's really high.
And then the rest is environmental risks. And what they have found that really point to this developing is long-term stress during childhood, beginning in childhood, as well as any childhood abuse. Hmm. So what they believe, if you think about regulation, there are chemical processes happening in your brain, sort of, you know, as this chemical passes this threshold and these different things interact. All of us have bad days, and all of us can feel depressed, and all of us can be happy and kind of manic in some form. But we have, it's like a slower movement between those stages in a sort of neurotypical brain. Mm-hmm. And then in a bipolar brain, it's like the valve that used to open and shut slowly is just sort of gone. So it's like, okay, they're here, back mm-hmm. there. And so this regulation thing has sort of been messed with, and they cite abuse and highly stressful experiences as children, as that part doesn't quite, you know, the chemical work doesn't quite function the way it should later on. In fact, there are studies to show that there's organic brain differences between someone with bipolar and someone without.
Oh, weird.
That's pretty new study, but it sort of makes sense. Like, whatever is happening for some people who can, you know, transition in a very different way, that process has kind of been damaged from that childhood depression.
Right.
The childhood trauma and long-term stress. So, which leads to, like, okay, so if you got some hereditary factors, and then you have these risk factors, maybe there was abuse, which is what I would ask this guy, and he probably knows, you know, was his wife abused at all?
Right.
Is there any other family history? Is her mother, father, anyone, you know, that he knows of connected? And that would be sort of important to look at. There's another thing, you know, it always sucks. Like, you pick a stick and you get the other end of that stick. And the other end of bipolar stick often is another disorder, like anxiety, ADHD. You can have OCD with this. Eating
doesn't
disorder
usually come alone.
Yeah, eating disorders are pretty common. Premenstrual dysphoria disorder is another one, which can be confusing, and maybe, you know, can stand alone as well, like a super mood swing before menses and then whatever. But sometimes they can be together. So it really takes a very skilled professional meeting with you and doing some analysis. There is some blood work they can kind of look at. It's not like one blood test and you got it, but there's some stuff they can look at to help parse this out, because it may be other things. And sometimes, you know, maybe you're like, I had a client at one point, so much stress in his life, it was unbelievable. And his testosterone was like through the toilet, and his estrogen levels were really high. And he was like losing muscle tone, and he was crying, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, he's bipolar. And a physician put him on bipolar drugs, and it was just really a response to severe stress, and then his hormones being jacked up. So he got put on lithium, which did nothing for him. So it's really important that you get a really thorough diagnosis and make sure it's not just someone like, oh, you have a mood swing? Okay, you have bipolar, right?
Yeah. Is that a problem where people are being diagnosed in a hurry like that? I mean, you and I have talked about this stuff before, where there's like, you know, the minute a kid seems like he's a little distracted at school, they want to give him Ritalin or something.
Right. This would be like the non-professional, you know, the teacher is in my professional opinion. Yeah.
Right. And my pet peeve of all time, which is your family doctor, bless them, love them. They get paid very little compared to their peers, and they are doling. That's not a word. Doling.
Mm-hmm. Doiling.
They're doiling. They're doling out psychotropic medication when they shouldn't be. But part of that is the pressure of they need to help a patient. and the process is, you know, I don't know, whatever, but they're doing it. And so they'll give these medications to people when they're describing something. And it's hard. You need a cross differential, what is that? Differential diagnosis. You need just a little more expertise. And so I think a lot of people, maybe the full picture isn't, you know, there. But let me say this about medication. So lithium is salt, basically.
Right.
And that stuff is freaking magic. It's like the, you just find it in like a field somewhere. I don't know where they get it. There was a podcast on lithium.
It was,
what was that?
Crap. Planet Money, maybe? Or
it was somewhere.
Somewhere like that. It was an NPR thing. It may have been Radiolab or something. But anyway, yeah, that was fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating. And they go through the story of a woman who's in a manic episode and what that looked like. And then how this lithium is just like, it does what the brain absolutely needs when you have bipolar.
Yeah.
Which I hate that, you know, sometimes it's this way, but you give someone who doesn't actually have bipolar lithium and you're going to get weird side effects or it's not effective. You give it to someone who has bipolar and man, it is heaven.
Yeah.
Right. It's the one that has been proven to be the best. I've anecdotally only seen it work for people with bipolar. I've never had anything other than that, but you know, there's controversy about everything. But the other thing is they often give anticonvulsant medication, and that research is a little more spotty. So, but here's some cool stuff that there's symptoms actually that will happen before the onset of an episode.
Oh, so you know what's coming. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. So, and the therapies that are really the most effective are cognitive behavioral, psychoeducational, family focus, because often the family is just wheeling. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So all those things are good, but there's one out of, I forgot where she's from. Ugh. Anyway, it's called social rhythm therapy.
Okay.
And it's essentially behavioral therapy to treat the disruptions in circadian rhythms. So what they found is these symptoms that happen just before onset of an episode are pretty clear. They're sleep disturbances, mm-hmm. appetite changes, mood changes, your anxiety goes up a little bit. Sometimes you have psychomotor agitation, like your hands are a little twitchy or you have some kind of, you know, psychomotor feeling.
Right.
And so it's a little bit like, I don't know, a little warning bell. And if you can train a client to access sort of the awareness about it, and then also to really manage their lives based on their circadian rhythms, their social rhythms, it's really helpful.
Mm.
So there's medication, absolutely. There's other treatments. I would tell all loved ones of mine to take lithium and make sure you're on that, as well as do all these other things, and you can really do really pretty well.
Lithium sounds terrible.
I know. It's an awful word.
It sounds like a thing I'd fill a balloon with, a weather balloon with, or something.
Or pilot your Enterprise with.
Yeah. We're all out of lithium crystals. We need to, that's right. Weird to me.
Because there's lithium batteries, right?
Right. Good point. Right.
Yeah, there we go. So that's where it's.
Yeah, it sounds chemical, and but actually it's not.
Salt. It's just chemical.
Is it used for other things? I mean, you said earlier you've only seen it work, but are people prescribing it for other conditions?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. Mm. I've never heard
like
straight it
up depression. You're not going to use lithium for straight up depression.
Anymore. No. Okay. And it won't do it. It really, the thing it works the best with is the mania. Mm. So if you are hypomanic, you know, it would treat that too. But like if you're just depressed, absolutely do not take lithium.
Yeah.
Which I think is when it gets misused, it's often then. And then it's just gonna suck. So it really is what it's best for is the mania, and the mania is your real enemy, and it sucks because that seems like the most fun part.
Yeah.
the most useful part anyway.
Yeah. And it's the part that gets your house painted, but then causes a major crash. And the more manic episodes you have, I mean, you start to get pretty dangerous. So that leads to suicide. One out of every two people with bipolar disorder will attempt suicide sometime in their life.
Oh, wow. They're a high,
that's
they're
really
a high,
high.
A high rate for them.
And the success rate of bipolar folks is 10 to 20 times higher than the general population. Mm. Like they figure out how to make it work as opposed to the rest of people. Mm. And, you know, part of that, and, you know, someone who's been in that situation could probably describe it. Like I said, it's not comfortable. Like, it's not like, sweet, I got my house painted. your body's literally sleeping 3 hours a day and is rushing around with no drug. It's not induced by any kind of drug. And it's just kind of exhausting. And
I was going to say, there's got to be like other side effects or long-term heart problems or something that can come from that.
Absolutely. Just absolutely.
Lack of sleep. And,
yeah. And in the end, the brain changes, or if it changed before, it's hard to know. But it's not an easy illness to deal with, but it is very treatable if it's diagnosed correctly and people stick with a regimen. You do have a lot of maintenance problems with medication. People feel normal again. And that was actually in that podcast too, right, Scott?
Yeah. Where
she just stopped taking it because she felt so normal.
Yeah, it was so normal. As well, like a lot of, you hear this anything. With like depression patients who stop taking their meds because they feel great. And then the ones that should still be on them end up having all these problems. But yeah, she ended up relapsing in a pretty hardcore way. Yeah. But up till that point, she felt the most normal she'd ever felt in her life.
Right. Years.
Yeah.
And then one day you're like, I mean, I'm good. And then you stop taking it. And then.
Yeah. That was a really, really interesting thing.
I should have looked it up before. Sorry, everybody. It's really good.
Yeah. Worth seeking out. I want to say it was either Planet Money or possibly Radiolab. Maybe.
I think it was Radiolab.
Seems like it'd be more appropriate on Radiolab,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they might have just copied and pasted from some other place, but I think it was Radiolab.
Yeah. It's super good. It's worth checking out.
Ninja Steve in the chat room also asks, is there a correlation between bipolar disorder and migraines? Like, does one cause the other?
Interesting. There is no causation, but they can be coupled as sort of side effect or some type of interaction. I did read a little about that because I had never heard of that connection before. I've never had a client with that connection, so it seemed a little foreign to me. And it's not sort of tested thoroughly, but there is some connection with maybe frequency of the average person with bipolar. They'll have migraines, but not causation.
There's a correlation between people who have just straight up like horrible migraines and are therefore depressed, right? Like chronic conditions like that can create like nightmares and depression, but not necessarily be the cause or the.
And that's the thing that's so tricky about bipolar is because you could just be depressed for years or on and off or whatever, and then have a manic episode and be like, what? And that's, you know, that you can get bipolar 2 diagnosis without ever having a severe manic episode means that it's not like you got to wait for that to come. And now I have a new diagnosis, but sometimes that can happen to people. Whereas depression is linked to, you name it, if there's anything that disrupts your life, chronic pain, like you were saying, migraines is a perfect example of that. It can be just loss of a relationship. There's lots of things that it's really obvious why it's connected to depression. But this is a sort of an entirely different thing. And it's really important to get a thorough look at your family history with such strong connections. If you look at the twin studies on bipolar, I mean, that's where we get a lot of our genetic, you know, proof for a lot of things. And it's just significantly higher in twins.
Weird.
May or may not have the same environmental influences, you know, like separated birth twins or the whatever.
Sure. So that's weird. Twins, turns out, not that I don't want to celebrate any of the Nazi experiments of the 1940s, but their obsession with twins, maybe there was something to that. They were trying to figure some of that stuff out.
Right.
Kind of going about it in gross ways, but good job, Nazis.
Way to bring up Nazis. That's,
there's always
like there, sink every conversation.
Always room in the conversation for a Nazi. Yeah, always something. Well, that's interesting. So my big takeaway from this is, A, there's treatment and ways to, you know, get help and all that stuff. But B, there's a portion of the mental illness knowledge base that has stigma attached to it. And this one is not immune to that. You know, people throw it around like a term that's, you know, just a silly throwaway term. And really, it's not at all that.
Right. And if you put yourself in someone's shoes who's manic and then depressive in either of those cases and flipping back and forth, you would be extremely grumpy. Like, it's a very difficult way to live and to feel powerless and to feel judged and to judge yourself. like, what is wrong with me kind of thing.
Sure.
But there is a very normal life with good treatment. And it's the hardest part is getting the treatment is you just maybe think, oh, it's just me or it's my personality or I lose all these relationships in my life and it's my fault. When it might be that the way you're experiencing the world and the fluctuating mood that you have is out of your control, has to do with your brain, and is medical. It isn't personal, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest thing always about mental illness. And for those with family members or who are listening, who are, have loved ones with bipolar, it's really important that you get educated so that you don't just think they're being a jerk mm-hmm. on that day, or you just wish they'd just get out of bed on that day, that you would, you have a better understanding. There's support groups, there's education classes, there's a lot you can do to be more informed, and that's going to help everyone overall.
Well, soon there's going to be a whole new resource they weren't even aware was going to happen, and that is what. So Wendy's been working on something on the side. We've been going back and forth a little bit on it, and she's been doing the lion's share of it. But we've got a new website to talk about today.
Yes.
Is it up now? What's the website?
It is up right this minute. You want to look at it?
Yeah. To give us the URL so everyone at home knows to look at it.
All right. Now, keep your judgments to yourselves at first, because I don't know what I'm doing. And what's awesome is Adam could do this in a half a second and make it fantastic, but he is doing this like, I'm going to let you learn. And you can see him just like biting his tongue like, oh my gosh, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's Therapy Thursdays with an S .com.
Yep. TherapyThursdays.com.
Some dude has Therapy Thursday and he's been holding it for like 10 years.
Yeah. And he wants you to pay $60,000 to give it to him.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Yeah.
I will not.
Yeah. I'm not doing it.
So anyway. So it's Therapy Thursdays, plural.
Yeah.
And it's up. And yes, so
will it be like combination of audio and written recommendations and stuff?
What we're going to do, in fact, Brian Ibbett, I'm glad Scott answered my email, because I just described what it's about, and I mentioned you, and I was like, what do I link to? Because I don't follow your stuff very much, because I don't follow anyone.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's totally fine.
So I found you on Wikipedia and read all about you.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, who has a Wikipedia page? That was awesome. So I changed it to Coverville, so I hope that's okay.
That was totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So on it right now, I have my hello, everyone. And then I have actually linked all of the therapy show stuff that Scott and I did, those 12 episodes. So that's all there.
Yep.
And then we're going to figure out how to,
we're going
to
get all the, so it's going to take some work. We got Iceworm helping us out on the back end, but we're going to go and get all of the segments we've ever done, pull them out of TMS so that they're sort of separate, self-contained topical pieces where, this week was on depression. That week was on how to help this lady leave her terrible husband or whatever, and, get those in a format that people can get to easily and quickly.
Yeah. So you can listen to those, and then we'll do the current ones and the upcoming ones so they can stream just the Therapy Thursday segment.
Mm-hmm.
If they want the other jibber jabber you guys do, they're going to have to look elsewhere.
There's other ways. Yeah, there's other ways. They already have a way to get all of that.
I assume this photo on the top of the page, too, that's the home in Sweden, right?
Yes. It looks a little dilapidated. That just came with the theme, and I've been trying to put other pictures in. I'm like, I'm going to let professionals.
Actually, kind of like that, honestly.
It's kind of
so
nice.
What I'm going to do actually at some point, and I'm going to solicit from Taylor maybe first, but open it up for anyone who wants. So each new podcast segment, I'm going to have a picture up for that. And kind of open source. Who thinks they're a photographer? Send me a picture. I would love that.
I'd rather
it be created by you guys than not you two, but everyone
right,
else.
Right, right. No, I think that'd be a great way to conclude the community. It's funny because there's my favorite part of your first post here. Is where you say, in parentheses, full disclosure, I'm terrified of the comment section on blogs because I do not love internet angry talk. So play nice or I'll turn that little feature off because I'm super good with setting boundaries. Ha.
Nice.
That's the tone. I like the tone. So anyway, go over there, therapythursdays.com, and there are ways for you to ask Wendy questions there as well.
Yeah, it's there on the right. And what at first it's like all protectionism, right? Like it doesn't let you comment till I say it's okay or whatever. So I'll make sure all that happens.
Yeah.
But the Ask Wendy section is I will do blog posts for your questions.
Yeah.
So I already have a few in the making of questions that people have sent Scott before.
Yeah.
And the first one you'll get to read is called Grandpa is a Racist. So it's going to be very exciting.
That sounds awesome.
And I will let you know if I'm answering yours and you'll, you know.
Yeah. To me, I would argue on the near 5-year anniversary of TMS, which happens Monday, and we've been doing this since the very beginning. So the 5-year anniversary technically of Therapy Thursday, I think it's awesome that we're finally to the point where this is happening and that you're like doing it. Like this is, this is no commentary on Wendy, but Wendy's busy and has things going on. The fact that she is taking this little project as a, you know, she's spearheading it. It isn't me going, Wendy, you should get on the web more. That's not me. I think is awesome.
Y'all know how much I hate the web.
She hates the internet.
I know. And then there's like these podcasts recently about people like destroying each other's lives online, and I'm like, oh, I can't. I hate this place. I'm not. But here I am.
Did you do that? You did that This American Life thing where that that blogger and that guy got together on the phone. That was crazy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really interesting.
That was like the only good story. The rest are so scary.
They're terrible. Most of them. But yeah, no, this is a great thing, and I want people to support it. And we'll do some other things to connect all this in. Probably, you know, make sure the tadpole is aware of it in their Facebook group and. Maybe even get Wendy in there. So if there's, you know, if there's anything in there she ever wants to draw out, she can. We could even put you in our Slack group. There's things we could do. But yeah, it's watch it grow and be its own rad thing that is, you know, has always been its own rad thing. But now it's a little more out there and available for you. So
yes.
TherapyThursdays.com. That's with an S. And go there now. Ask your questions and be a bigger part of the Therapy Thursday phenomenon.
Yes.
And there's more to come, but it's up there and ready to go. Cool. All right. I think that's it. Wendy, always a pleasure. Is there anything else going on? I guess that's it.
I'll be in Mexico next week. So when you call me, I will be on a beach with a thing in my hand. What do you call those?
A drink?
With an umbrella.
A Mai Tai?
A sun in the sky. A sun. Some sun I haven't seen for a good while now. Very excited.
A nice warm sun. Yeah.
I will be available. I will let you know for sure if my phone doesn't work because you know how I am. But I should be there.
Are you excited? This is going
to
be good.
Yeah. Maybe I'll find a Mexican who can talk to you guys or something.
Yeah. That'd be all right.
Oh, wow.
Make it exciting.
I'd love to talk to a Mexican.
Yeah. Because you know I'm going to Cancun, which is full of real life Mexicans.
Right.
It's
I think where you're going is where we're going in March, I think.
Yeah.
I think the same
place. No real Mexican life there at all. It's just it's like an enclave of America, basically.
Let me know how it goes, because your experience will directly affect my anticipation or not.
Yeah, you're going to get on a plane and go to another country. Scott.
Listen, everyone acts like I've never been anywhere. I've been to China, for heaven's sakes. I've been around. I've done some stuff. I spent time in Tokyo. I slept in a bed that was half my size. I know what's up. It's all good. I don't go. Okay. I don't leave very often. I'll admit that. But yes, Mexico. I'm heading there. They're gonna, you know, I'm putting out of my head all of my stereotypes of foreigners having their things stolen and their heads beheaded, and I'll not think about that.
Oh my gosh.
I won't think about any of those things, and everything will be great. I'm very much looking forward to it. But you'll have to tell me like how was the food and what'd you think of this, you know, were the people nice and all that. So
yeah. And they have these like street vendor with like cream puff. I don't know. There's some kind of sugar something. I will let you know.
All right.
And they also have mosquitoes with a weird virus currently. So I won't tell you about
that. Oh, great. That's good. Don't also eat the, don't eat any street tacos or whatever.
Yeah. Or drink water out of any canal.
Yeah. You got to drink bottled water the whole time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to Mexico.
Cancun has like managed most of this, you know.
They probably have, but I'm playing it safe and drinking out of water bottles because I have stereotypes that will not leave me alone. And I am a white man who.
With a broken gut.
With a broken gut. And I don't need any additional broken guts. While I'm there. Are there really mosquitoes with the virus? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I forgot the name, Zirka or something. Anyway, it's really only a problem if you're pregnant or trying to be pregnant.
Oh,
so
that's it?
Don't be doing that.
No, I'll be fine. All my
should
be
okay.
Yeah, I give birth every morning, but not in the way you're thinking. Wendy, have a great day. Have a great week. Have fun there, and we'll talk to you hopefully next Thursday.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. So... Had to go there, man.
Yeah, that went to a place.
Here's the rest of that song at Donald Trump's rally. Not the rest, but part of it. So here you go.
Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings,
answer the call.
On your feet,
stand up tall.
Freedom's on our shoulders.
USA!
Oh, Lord.
Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down.
Wow.
Jeez.
What's the difference? Here's a trivia question for you.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that and a North Korean song rally? Like, it's propaganda at its
trivial
worst.
Yeah, and I feel bad for the kids who are pulled in doing this stuff, and they don't, you know, they're just basically doing what their parents are telling them to do.
Yep.
They don't necessarily really understand or believe all of the stuff that they're being told to say. I mean, I'm obviously understanding what freedom is. Sure, you can do that at that age without
a
problem. But
sure. But there's an old lady behind him just grinning ear to ear going, oh, they're adorable.
Right.
I sure hope President Trump gives them medals of honor when he gets in office.
Right.
I hate it. And I don't like, listen, if don't act like it's just me railing on Republicans today. If a Democrat did this, I'd be just as pissed. It's irritating to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's propaganda, and they're little kids. You don't drag them out and make them do your bidding. And I don't even know who did it. It could have been some Ohio local chapter of the Trump supporting whatever, and Trump had no idea. I'm not blaming him even. I'm just saying those are little kids. You're not supposed to hang them out like tools like that.
Right.
You bastards. All right. Let's get out of here. Let's be done.
All right. Okay.
Patreon.com/TMS is our place to go to support us. And later today, there'll be another episode of the show, our fifth bonus episode at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, live here on the stream and also put up on the feed tomorrow. That's because you guys support us over there. That is one of our unlocks at patreon.com/TMS. So come on back for that. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. As always, themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. Leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. Follow us all on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. And we're on Reddit, frogpants.reddit.com. Oh, and if you do the Patreon thing, don't forget you get access to the super exclusive Slack group that so far I could not be happier with. Everyone is being super
Watch
cool.
Watch Brian post nudity during the show.
Nudity.
Nudity. Not really. I did not post any nudity.
Hardcore.
Hardcore porn.
Porn with the monster. Okay, anyway. Brian will now play us out. Let's play us out.
By the way, I had two people pre-show in Tadpool chat. Let me know they were signing up for the Patreon today. They signed up while we were in there, right there pre-show. So thank you, both of you, for doing that. One at the 30 level, one at the 35 level, I think.
Yeah, and just so you know, the inclusion into the TMS Slack doesn't happen immediately, but it will happen pretty quickly. It's just a matter of us finding out who's new and then getting them access. So we have to do it all kind of manually per person. But
and I have that Slack open all day long. I'm quite often responding to people in there. So
same.
And I can't create a Coverville page or a Coverville channel because it's the same as my name. So I got to come up with another place to put like cover music discussion.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Part of the show discussion, like TMS music discussion, not necessarily for Coverville show.
Chillette on Slack says, Scott Johnson, quote, get their heads beheaded. Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to say it that way. It's kind of obvious that when you're being beheaded.
Remove the heads from their heads.
Yeah, the heads getting their heads beheaded. Anyway, so that's a lot of fun over there, and people should be hanging out in there. All right, speaking of songs you like.
I do. I like this a lot. Actually, Keith recommended this, emailed in, said, hi, how about Blackstone Cherry covering Marshall Tucker Band's Can't You See? You can find on the 2011 release Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. Love the show, though, Keith, from Northwest Indiana. Just right to the point, Keith. Love that. this is a good request. This is something I hadn't heard before, and I'm a big fan of this song from Marshall Tucker Band, Can't You See? It is performed by Blackstone Cherry. It is from their 2011 album, Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, and it is going out to Keith. Here is Can't You See?
I'm gonna take a freight train down at the station. And I don't care where it goes. I'm gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain, Lord. Gonna jump off and nobody gonna know. Can't you see?
Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hello there.